Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours. In store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Great to our listeners, because that's what it's all about today as we celebrate our national holiday. Majella Rippington, you love Graham Norton, the comedian, the presenter, Graham Norton.
Yes, hello, Joe. Yes, I do. Just when you asked about the comedies and what with this, I just recently on the Late Late Show watched Paddy Kilty interview Graham Norton, and he went back to one of his early sketches as a stand-up comedian doing Mother Teresa. And if you hadn't seen it before, it was just the funniest thing. And that stood in my memory.
This is with the tea towel over his head. And you also love Noel Veganity. Okay, let's hear Graham Norton and then straight into Noel Veganity.
Here.
Well, actually, this is our caravan.
Oh, Father Rook said we could use it.
Yes, I see.
I think he must say it to everyone. Hey, you lot, room for two more in the St. Luke's youth group. Mosh and Fast, sit down there, and we'll have a bit of an old song. What can we sing? Will you sing one, Ted?
No, I won't.
Yeah, you will. You have a lovely voice. Very like Celine Dion. Will you dance, then? Come on, Tony, sit on the old Riverdance album.
I'm quite tired.
What? Maybe you're right, actually. We're all a bit exhausted from the old singing. Some of us overdid it down the old local last night. Jerry Fields knows who I'm talking about, huh? What? Hey?
Yeah.
Anyway, we arrived back at God. It must have been 10:30. And some of us crawled in. Janine Riley knows what I'm talking about there, don't you? Don't you?
Yeah.
And she wasn't the only one. Tony Lynch! He knows, huh? Look at him there all sweetness and light. But he wasn't like that last night when he crawled into bed at 11:10.
That's the great Graham Norton in the caravan, you can see it. And here is the brilliant Noel Veganity.
Casey says to Murphy, what's the difference between in-laws and outlaws? And Murphy says, well, outlaws are wanted. Do you get that, Mrs? Outlaws are wanted, you know the difference. And Murphy was asleep in bed the other night. He dreamt he was plucking a chicken. When he got up, his wife was bald. And did you ever notice, ladies and gentlemen, did you ever notice, why is it when there's a knock at your door, why does the dog always think it's for him?
And Noel Veganity, Majella, he's semi-retired at this stage. Though I still see him out on his bike. But by the way, for people, you're well able, if you wish, to get Noel Veganity. CDs are still available, and indeed he's still up on YouTube. So Noel Veganity and Graham Norton, two generations, two different styles of comedian, Majella. Well done.
Well, the reason I said Noel Veganity, I particularly heard him on your show particular Friday. You were doing those comedy shows.
Yeah.
And then I was on my way to a show in the UK, to a dog show, bought the tape on the ferry for my host.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. They won't understand the accent or anything. And it went down a treat. They loved it. They were telling the gags. It was spoken about again at dinner. And they really, really appreciated him. And I mean, we take them for granted, but to be truthful, our Irish comics, our comedians, are just world class. They really, really are.
They really are.
And Tommy Tiernan in there with them. There's just so many of them, and Brendan Grace. I think there's an era there of comedians that we will never see the like of again. They were just special, and I think of them often and some of their sketches when you'd be least expecting pop into your head. You know?
Hopefully we'll hear more. Thanks to the Majella Rippington. Kevin Murray, you want to remember Dave Allen.
Hello, Joe.
Remind our younger listeners who Dave Allen was, the late Dave Allen.
Dave Allen was a stand-up a comedian who actually sat down. Okay. He sat on a tall stool, yes, and he usually had his favourite tipple there as well. And he had a very personable, charming way about him, and he had very good material. I think he wrote most of it himself. And he probably peaked around the late 80s, early 90s. And he was on ITV and he was on BBC.
He was our mainstay on a Saturday night, Dave Allen. Let's hear Dave Allen. Dave Allen, originally from, is it Drogheda or Dundalk, the north of the country anyway. He worked in the Irish Times for a period. I think his father worked there. Was famous for the fact that he his index finger, half of it was missing, and he would never explain or tell anyone why or what happened to it. This is Dave Allen.
A very important part of the Irish way of life is death. See, if anybody else, anywhere else in the world dies, that's the end of it, they're dead. But in Ireland, when somebody dies, we lay him out and watch him for a couple of days. It's called a wake. And it's a party, it's a send-off. And the fellow's laid out on the table, and there's drinking and dancing and all the food you can eat. And all your friends come from all over the place. And they all stand around the wake table looking at you with a glass in their hands and they say, here's to your health. And the terrible thing about dying over there is you miss your own wake. It's the best day of your life. You paid for everything and you can't join in. Mind you, if you did, you'd be drinking on your own.
Brilliant. Apparently, Dave Allen was born in Dublin, in Fairhouse. I thought he was born up the country. And his name was Dave Tynan Allen. Kevin, do you know anything else about Dave Allen?
He worked as a redcoat for Butlins at one time. He did various jobs before he found his niche in comedy. And he actually started out in Australia. And I think he got into a little bit of trouble over something he said out there. It wasn't quite taken very well. But I'd like to give you one of his jokes, if I may.
I do, Joe. Please. Oh, yes.
So, back in the old days in the USSR in the 1980s, it took 10 years to buy a car.
Oh, I know that. Waiting list.
So a customer goes into the office to buy the car, and the fellow behind the counter says, well, that's all good. We have all your details and your 25,000 rubles. So we'll see you in 10 years' time on the 10th of April, 1988,
yes,
to collect a nice new car. And the customer says, AM or PM? And the fellow says, well, it's 10 years from now. Does it really matter? And the customer says, well, it might, you know, because I have the plumber coming in the morning.
Right. You know who used to tell that gag? It was the bell Ronald Reagan. The bell Ronald Reagan used to tell that gag. Okay,
yeah,
you're going, Kevin, you're going to Tullfarrs Hotel and Golf Resort in Blessington. It's a hidden gem, apparently. Two fabulous restaurants, golf course, driving range. You have a one-night stay for two, breakfast and bottle of wine on your arrival. That's Kevin Murray. Where's Micheál? Micheál, you want to tell a joke?
Oh, good afternoon. How are you doing?
51551 0818 715 815. Go. All right. WhatsApp audio can enter for a prize as well. Send your WhatsApp gag 0874848888. 0874848888. Quickly, go ahead, Micheál.
Joe, my annual joke for anyone fortunate or unfortunate to meet me on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
What did St. Patrick say when he was driving the snakes out of Ireland?
No, go on. Go on.
Are yous all right there, lads, in the back?
Ah, very good. Oh, he's in a car, yeah. Fair play, Micheál. Fair play, yeah. And have you many friends?
Well, I probably have fewer now after today.
Here, I'll tell you what, Micheál, here. Have you a fine head of hair in you there?
I'm told I have.
Yeah, no extensions. Okay, Lanai Blow. Is an Irish hairdryer brand, apparently, with Lanai Blow 2.0. Even faster, lighter, quieter. And you can even get it personalised. Lots more. Look up lanaiblow.com or send you one of their super duper new hairdryers. Micheál, Pascal McKenna. Pascal. Oh, no, let's go to Kathleen Murphy in Westport. Come in, Kathleen. Kathleen, come
hello.
In. Come in.
Hello, Joe. Hello.
Who do you want to pick, Kathleen?
I'd love to hear Maureen Potter with her lovely son, Christy, when Christy was sent home with a sum to do. Do you remember that sketch?
Well, no, I don't, but you're going to tell me.
I'm hoping you're going to play it, because I won't remember it properly.
Did you ever see Maureen in the flesh?
Unfortunately, no. But we used to listen to her on a Sunday evening on the radio. And I think that was around the same time as we'd listen to Dinjo and Rory O'Connor Irish dancing on the radio.
God, you have.
Do you remember that? Anyway, this sketch with Christy. You remember Christy was her erstwhile son.
Yes.
And she's been to something. So Christy came home with a maths problem to solve. And it was something about how to find out how long it would take to fill a bath full of water.
Okay, don't tell the joke. Here it is.
Come on, Christy.
Christy.
Tell me you're in bed. Don't tell me you're still doing your homework. You've been hours at it. Have that pen, chew it down to the nib. And look at the ink you spilled on that tablecloth. And your father hasn't even read it yet. What are you doing? Sums. Sums! Don't mention sums to me after that sum you brought home last week. How long would it take A, B and C to fill a bath with water if the bath had a hole in it? Of all the stupid ways of filling a bath, A was a dessert spoon, B was a pint jug, and oh yes, C had a bucket. But he had to keep climbing over a gate and spilling 24.9% of the water. They should have stuffed him and his bucket down the hole in the bat. A, B and C indeed. No wonder they didn't give their real names. Three of them would have been locked up. And then your father, Professor Einstein, can't count to 21 unless he's naked. True. Let's do this some practical, Sissy. Take the coal out of the bath. Start filling, Sissy. And of course, I have to be C with the bucket. Climbing over the clothes horse and spilling 24.9% of freezing water all over me feet. We're going strong. The landing is under 2 foot of water. The stairs is like Niagara Falls. And you, Christy, make a great discovery. We're doing the wrong song.
That's the great Kathleen. That's the great Kathleen Murphy introducing the wonderful Maureen Potter.
And
people remember Maureen Potter, Danny Cummins, Jimmy O'D. And I was speaking to the crew here when we were talking about this programme a few days ago. And I mentioned that Maureen Potter performed in front of Hitler. When she was on tour, I think she was only 12, 13. She was in a dancing troupe and they were travelling through Germany in the 1930s, and Hitler was in the audience, and he was the Führer at the time, was quite close to the Second World War. And then if you want, you know, there's six levels of connection. Well, then Maureen Potter's son in real life.
A swimmer. Wasn't he a swimmer?
No, you know who you're thinking of. Donegal O'Dea, Siobhan McKenna's son, I think. I don't know. Well, anyway, the son I know, I knew Jack O'Leary. The son I know is Hugh O'Leary. And the reason I know Hugh O'Leary is that he's a senior divisional officer, they call him, in Dublin Fire Brigade. Very, very, very competent. I saw him. He gave a lecture a couple of weeks ago. He was at Extraordinary. But he's Maureen Potter's son. And then, if you want to take it even closer, Maureen Potter's daughter-in-law, who's married to Hugh O'Leary. Her name is Ruth, and Ruth O'Leary, and she was on with her own Oliver Callan there during the week, because Ruth, Maureen Potter's daughter-in-law, don't know why she's ever been introduced like that, Ruth, Maureen Potter's daughter-in-law, just published her first book. It's called The Weekend Break, Four Friends, Four Secrets.
Oh, I heard that.
Yes, One Explosive Weekend.
Yes.
And that's called Weekend Break. Okay, that's a small word. I tell you, it is a small word, isn't it, Kathleen?
It's a small word.
Lovely
to hear that sketch again. I haven't heard it for years.
She's brilliant. It's a small word, but I'd hate to have to wallpaper. Eileen Codd. Thank you, Kathleen. Eileen Codd.
Oh, hi. How are you doing, Joe?
Oh, you want Maureen again? Oh, there's a run on Maureen.
Again.
Which one do you want for Maureen? And
oh,
tell me
Christy
why.
Christy at the fresh. And why? I'll tell you why now.
Go on.
I only remember Maureen like as Christy's mammy. That's how I remember Maureen Potter. And she holds a real special place for me because I used to try to imitate her on stage myself as a teenager.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. At the Fesh and the Grail Tap. And she had, and it was another one where I think Christy was holding balloons and he headed off up into, and he ended up in the Rotunda. And mother and baby were both born there very big. Or the baby was born very big in the Rotunda.
Okay.
But he got away and it was the balloons. That's another one I remember. But she really was fantastic, Joe. And as teenagers, we loved her.
Her timing was brilliant. Pascal McKenna's in Chew. And Pascal, why are you mad about Maureen as well? God, they're coming in their droves now. Maureen Potter. Go ahead, Pascal.
I think Maureen Joe was the best comedian this country ever produced. I remember as a young child sitting at the black and white television with all the family watching the Maureen Potter show. It was the highlight of the week, and the Christmas specials were absolutely
brilliant. What happened, Christmas specials on RT television? It's a pity.
I don't know. They were absolutely brilliant, and they're sadly missed, and they wouldn't take that much to put together, you know.
That's true.
So it is, Joe. So I think.
Okay, and do you want Christy at the Fesh as well? And by the way, do people know that the Fesh Cole? Thank you for mentioning it, Eileen and Pascal. The Fesh Cole is on at the moment, and it's on in the RDS, about eight different venues in the RDS. It's an annual event. The chairperson is the wonderful, wonderful Kathleen Watkins, as you know, and the vice chair is Carmel Lockton, the philanthropist, and the full time staff as well. I was looking at the programme last night for the Fesh Cole, and it's the size of a small telephone book. There's so many performances. And every single performance in the Fesh Cole over the next week, including this weekend, every single performance in the Fesh Cole over this week, it's competitions for French horn, for oboe, for singing, for classical, for Irish. It's an incredible mix. Every single performance is free. So will people go down there and you'll get it, ramble around the different... There's something on almost every hour, every day, and the young people are just stunning. The piece I heard, I won't tell you the particular competition to upset anyone who didn't win it, but it was absolutely, absolutely stunning. Okay, this is Christy at the Fesh, just like I hope our listeners will be at the Fesh in Dublin over the next week. Christy, Maureen, Christy, come in,
come on, Christy. Where's your father? What? Gone into the refreshment tent with two fellas wearing fonias. That's the end of him. He'll come home plastered and say they were filling him with compulsory Irish. Him and his drink. He won't even take a bath unless there's a head on it. Never mind, son, we'll win this little prize without him. Let's see now. That's under 14, tent. Oh, Christy, look. Will you look at the cup? Will you look at the size of the cup, Christy? If you win that, you'll get the freedom of the flats. Oh, isn't it only beautiful? What a cup. Imagine that in the pawn shop. I mean, your uncle's window. What are you whinging about, Christy? What? You're fed up of Irish dancing. Fed up for Irish dancing? Is that what your forefathers fought and died for? You want to be a disco dancer? You will not be a disco dancer. You, Christy, will be a river dancer. No, I don't want you to dance on water. No, it's nothing to do with synthesized swimming. You will be on next year's Eurovision doing the river dance. You'll be up there at the point, surrounded by gorgeous young ones in short, slinky black dresses. What's that, Christy? You want to keep on the Irish dancing? Yes, I thought you might. Next year we won't have to send to America for Irish dancers. It'll be you, Christy. Even if I have to break both your legs to get you there.
Okay, 0818-715-815, joe@rt.ie and 51551. And remember, if you want to bang in even a WhatsApp message, it's 0874848888. Back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818-715-815. Talk to Joe on 0818-715-815.
John O'Dwyer is in Navan, which is a palindrome. John, Maureen Potter.
Yeah, it's just, Joe, when that lady came on from Westport and started speaking about Maureen, you played the clip. It just brought back lovely memories. I had the pleasure of seeing Maureen live in the Hetford Arms Hotel in Kells, and apart from the Gaiety Theatre before that. But I always loved, at the end of the show, she'd come out. And Maureen had an ability to communicate with facial expressions as well as her tongue.
Of course, yeah.
But she'd give you a look that would go through you or make you laugh. It'd be one or the other. But she finished every show with a little thing, and she'd just come out, and she had her lovely voice for it. I can't do that voice. But she said, if you enjoyed your show, will you tell your friends? And if you didn't, will you save your breath to cool your porridge?
Cool your porridge. She used to say it from the stage of the Gaiety every time she finished. She used to do a summer show, and then she used to do the Panto at Christmas. An absolute genius. Okay, John, we'll have more of Maureen later on, I promise. Deborah, Carolyn, Deborah.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Go on, tell us a joke.
Doc, I can't stop singing the green, green grass of home, he said.
To the doctor? Like to who? To the doctor?
The doctor.
Yeah, sorry, you were cut off there. So the fella goes to the doctor and says to the doctor, yes, I can't stop singing the green, green grass of home. The doctor says?
That sounds like Tom Jones syndrome. It's a common, I asked him. It's not unusual, he replied.
Well done, Deborah Carlin. Do you want, will I give you a hair dryer? Have you a nice head of hair? You have no extensions there or anything, have you?
I have no extensions, no.
Okay.
I love a hotel,
bro. Oh, you love a hotel? God, you're very past remarkable here today. The award-winning Tullfarrs Hotel and Golf Course, there you have one night with a bottle of wine on arrival. So you'll never leave the room. It's for two persons, the Tullfarrs House and Golf, down in Blessington, wonderful Blessington. Thanks, Deborah. Christo Lamb, Christo.
Christo. Hello, Joe. How are you? Great to talk to you.
Is it Christo or Christy or...
It's Christo, Christo, Christopher Short, Joe.
As in Monte Cristo?
No, Joe, I was called after a famous Meath footballer, Christo Hand, who played for Meath back in 1949-54.
Okay, Christo Hand. And why was he Christo called Hand. Christo Hand?
Well, that was his name. His name was Christo Hand. And
yeah, but it's Christo, sorry, I don't want to be pernickety here, but is Christo a short for Christopher?
It is indeed, Joe.
And what was wrong with Chris, Christy, or Christopher, Christo?
Christo. Okay. Christo is Christo, yeah.
Okay. And who do you want? Brendan Grace, and he apparently has this sisters. Is this Butler? Oh, Butler sisters. Who's Brendan Grace, Christo?
No, this is Brendan Grace doing the Bible salesman, Joe.
Okay, we don't have that yet. So, Christo, you're going to have to hang on. Here's Brendan Grace doing the Butler sisters. Bear with me, Christo. It's all a bit of fun.
I never forget me sister. Yeah, I never forget me sister was... the phone rang one day and the man said...
Hello?
She says, hello.
I'd like to speak... Who's this?
This is Mary.
Can I speak to your mother?
No.
Why can't I speak with your mother?
Because she is busy.
Okay. Well, can I speak with your father?
No.
Why not?
Because he is busy. He's very, very busy.
Mary, are there any other grown-ups in the house?
Yes.
Who?
The guards. The guard of Shigaloni are here.
Well, can I speak to one of them?
No.
Why?
Because they're busy. They're very, 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 very busy.
And what are they all doing?
They're looking for me.
Do you want to hear more of Brendan Grace, Christo? That was very good.
Yes, please. Yes,
okay,
please.
Here he comes again. Here's Brendan Grace.
The teacher looked at me one day and says, Butler, what are you doing? What are you doing?
So I'm writing a letter. Well, that's clever. And who's the letter to? Myself. Good boy. And what's in the letter? I don't know, because I won't get it till Friday.
Get out of the line. Get out. Yes. Razor Flanagan, give me 2 days of the week beginning with the letter T.
Today and tomorrow.
You get out with him. Pockets. Pockets on in. If you had 12 sweets and I took 50%, what would I have?
A broken arm.
Get back. And stop swinging at this chandelier. Okay, little boy here. Yes? Yes. Rogers?
Yes, sir.
What can you tell us about Kipling?
He makes exceedingly good cakes.
You. In Greek mythology, who was half man, half beast?
Buffalo Bill.
You. Who was Joan of Arc?
Was it Noah's wife?
Brilliant, brilliant. Brentford Grace is going down. Upon Margaret Tierney. Thanks, Christo. Thanks, Christo.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Margaret
Thank
Tierney.
You.
God bless you. Margaret Tierney.
Hello, Joe Duffy.
You want to hear Brendan Grace. We'll get more Brendan for you in a second. But you all, who else? You want to hear a female comedian, one of our best?
Well, Deirdre O'Kane, I liked as well.
Here. Isn't she brilliant? And there's loads. There seems to be loads of clips of her on TikTok, and they're very, very funny. Okay, have we got that? We got Deirdre O'Kane, the great Deirdre. Yes, we have. Here comes Deirdre.
When people say to me, "What is it about the Irish? You know, what is it about being unique? You know, uniquely Irish?" I want to say, nobody else in the world uses the expression "pain in the hole," and it's poetry. Do you know that? It really is. It's magnificent because it says it does exactly what you wanted to do. I was working on a TV show a couple of years ago, and it was a Roddy Doyle show, so there was a lot of language like that in it. And the continuity woman on the programme was English, so she didn't understand a lot of that language. But one of the actors kept messing up a line, and she stopped him in the middle of a take, and she said, John, sorry, she said, you keep getting the line wrong. She said, the line is, I am in my hole. And he was just looking at her for ages, going, sorry, what? What did you say the line is? She said, the line is, I am in my hole. And 5 minutes later, he eventually went, oh, I am in me hole.
Okay. Letters of complaint to Kevin Backhurst, Director General, and say, please, Director General, deal with this without referring directly to Liveline. Okay, thank you, Margaret, for picking Deirdre O'Kane at 40 minutes past two. Where is Maureen McGinley? Maureen.
She's here, Joe. How are you doing, Joe?
Good, and how are you? What part of the world are you in, Maureen?
Well, I'm in Donegal. I've been here for 39 years, but I'm from Dublin originally, and I haven't lost my accent.
I was going to say that you picked up a beautiful, soft Donegal. What part of Dublin are you from?
We would have lived in Donnybrook for most of our lives, so okay. Just down the road from you there.
And how come you're 3 decades in Donegal?
Yes, nearly 4.
And you kept your Donnybrook accent. And was that?
Of course.
Did you deliberately keep it? Did you?
It was the elocution lessons we got in Bagot Street School.
Yes.
That you know, was beaten into us.
This,
so
that,
I kept
these
it.
And those.
And those.
That's the way the TH goes.
Exactly, Joe. You did your elocution lessons.
No, I explained this, Maureen, in our school in Ballyferm. I'm not saying it was rough, but we had our own in-house coroner. In our school, it was in Parmesan originally. That's a joke, but in our school originally in Parmesan, there was a man who came in every week to teach elocution, but it was 6 pence in the old money. We hadn't got 6 pence to rub together.
We probably didn't have it either. We probably starved to get the 6 pence.
Probably did.
Yeah. Shoes
for the full. We were so poor. We used to get food parcels from a family in Limerick, the McCourts. We were so poor.
We thought
cutlery was jewellery. The wolf was at our door so often we called them Rex.
You should be on the
next stage, Joe Dodge. Maureen McGinley, here is Brendan Grace.
Now, everybody today blames the television for violence. Everybody says it's violence, it's the television.
Won't you turn it on? There's violence at football matches and all. Violence, violence.
The violence began with your mum.
It was your mammy who introduced you to violence. But who else could look at a child and say, I'll kill you?
Now, my television never threatened to kill me. How many times did your mother say, I'll break your neck? My television never threatened to break my neck. My television never followed me up 3 flights of stairs with the leg of an armchair and got me in the corner and said, where's the apple tart I made last night? Did you ever notice? Mammy always hit you while she spoke. And why did your mammy hit you? Because she loved you.
That's Brendan. He's emerging as our most popular choice today, Maureen McGinley. Thank you, Maureen.
Great.
And do you still have relations in Dublin for?
No, they're all over the place now. My two sisters followed me to Donegal, and then I have a brother in Naas and a brother in Ballinteer. I forgot where he lived there for a second.
And
he's still in Dublin.
If you were forced, would you choose between Dublin 4 and Donegal 4? Which would you pick?
Oh, God, I'm sorry, but it would have to be Donegal.
Okay, bye-bye.
Don't ever
darken Baggot Street Bridge again. You won't get boarded in the canal. That's
I'll
Maureen McGinley. Well done,
take
Maureen.
Care, Joe.
Maureen, well, Maureen, by the way, do you say you have 2 sisters with you in Donegal?
Donegal,
okay.
Yeah. They
so that means
me.
That means
to Cork next
that
week.
Means there's 3 heads of hair. That means you can have a Lanoi Blow hairdryer if you promise to share it with your sisters. I hope there's a long lead on it. It's a Lanoi Blow 2.0. Lanoi Blow 2.0.
Lovely.
Brand new
Thank
Irish
you very
company,
much.
And they're doing great. Okay, well done, Maureen McGinley. Where's Martin Macken? Martin.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
How are you keeping?
I'm good, Joe.
Okay.
Good.
What part of the country are you in, Martin?
I'm working here in Dundalk.
Okay. And what do you work at, Joe?
I work in construction.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work in construction at the minute, isn't there?
There is, mad. Busy, yeah.
And are you in the, would you get gaffers now coming to your site offering you more money to switch to another site, Martin?
No, not these days, no.
Okay.
Unfortunately, no.
And what do you do on the building site?
I'm a machine operator.
What type of machine?
Excavator. Well, I'm on a 130 Hitachi today, but it could be on anything.
Oh, that's a big animal, isn't it? That's a big beast.
Yeah.
It's hard to operate. It's all, there's no steering wheel. I'm not stupid, but there's no steering wheel in an excavator.
It's all
levers.
Track. Yeah, levers and tracks and so on, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And can you do, you know the way some fellas do tricks on excavators, they can lift themselves up and swing around sideways using the bucket and the arm?
I used to do that when I was in England. No, not anymore.
Okay.
I just do an honest day's walk now for an honest day's pay.
Good man, keep digging, Martin, keep digging. What's your gag? You have a gag, throw in the gag. Yeah, keep us going.
Yeah. It was just about this Irish man in London years ago, and he saw an English man with a flask, a thermos flask, and he had never seen one before. So he asked the English man, "What does that do?" And the English man said, "Well, it keeps hot things hot and cold things cold."
Oh, very good. Yes.
And Paddy said, "Very good," and he went off. And a week later, the Englishman seen him in the canteen again, and he had a thermos flask with him.
Yeah.
And he says, "I see you got a thermos flask for yourself, Paddy." "Oh, yes," says Paddy. And the English fella says, "And tell me, what have you in the flask today?" And he says, "2 cups of coffee and a chocolate."
Good stuff. Well done, Martin. And those were the days, Martin, those were the days when you could buy a chocolate. The only they're gone. The only thing you could buy now is a Magnum. For €8 or something. The 50 cent choc ice is gone. Long gone. Okay, Martin Macken, back to excavating, Martin. And God bless your work. We need people like you. Anne Bourke, good afternoon.
Did you hear the
and there's an ad there I just heard during our ad break between the between the promo for Harry Curry, our new sponsor, and they have 44 shops all over Ireland, believe it or not, and homeware and all that carry on. They're great. Anne, I was making... Anne is there, Martin is there. Martin has told us a joke about about the flask. And Anne, you want to hear the joke about...
The immersion by Dennis Bishop. It's not so much a joke as a narrative. And it just always strikes a chord with me because there used to always be killings about the immersion in our house at home. So I'd love to hear that.
Okay, and Dennis Bishop was in, he's a great comedian, but he was in the papers there the weekend because he was in college with Cillian Murphy.
See what I mean? Very good.
And then I was reading an interview with Cillian Murphy in GQ magazine. You know that gentleman's, it's a high-end magazine.
Now, no, I don't take that one myself.
Don't take it, yes. But anyway, I get delivered to my door. But it's about a 20-page interview with Cillian Murphy. One, he loves his sleep. Did you know this about Cillian? He gets 11 hours sleep, which he absolutely loves. He's a very accomplished musician, as we all know from, he's a brilliant actor, obviously. A very accomplished musician and actor. And the other thing about Cillian is he loves, I shouldn't give this away because I love it as well. He loves the Hugh Lane Gallery in Parnell Square in Dublin with the Francis Bacon Room and the Impressionists and all the different mix. There you are, stuff you didn't know. Des Bishop, Cillian Murphy, this is Des Bishop.
So I got to my cousin's house in Waterford and I experienced the biggest culture shock of my young life. So I said to my cousin, I said, I'd like to have a shower. Which was a bit of a culture shock for him, I might add. And he said, oh, you're going to have to turn on the immersion. I said, the immersion is that? You have to heat the water. I said, I have to heat the water myself? I just want to have a shower, for God's sake. I had a picture of myself on a bicycle making the water hot. Is it hot yet, man? Because I'm really sweating. I really need a shower. I got freaked out. It sounds like something that happens at the end of Batman and Robin. Will this be the end of Batman as he gets dipped slowly into the immersion? Tune in next week. When the water is actually hot enough for him to have a shower. Because in America, we just have hot water. It's just there. So then I had my shower. My drip, drip, no power Irish shower. Irish showers have such bad water pressure. I was doing a gig in New York recently, and this Irish guy came up to me after the gig, and he was like, Jesus, you're not joking. The first time I had a shower in America, I thought there was going to be horse in my body. So I had my shower and I was leaving the house about 4 hours later. My cousin says, oh, did you turn off the immersion? And I thought, man, you gotta turn it off as well? There's less commitment in a relationship, for God's sake. So I said, no, I didn't turn it off. And he says, you forgot to turn off the immersion!
Oh, we all know that. Yes, Anne. Yes,
it was a frequent call of that in our house when I was growing up. You know,
in everyone's house. I think the modern.
You know what,
yes.
I was just going to say that Des Bishop and Cillian Murphy have in common about the Cúpla Focal.
Oh, of course, yeah,
because the Cillian said his Gormila Mahogal.
Yeah.
And Des Bishop did that wonderful program about the problems of trying to learn Irish, you know.
And then
he did a great sketch about numbers, kind of. He was trying to cope with do and da as numbers for number two. And then somebody told him, you know, there's another number two for counting people, birth. And he nearly lost his reason altogether.
Yes. And remember, back to Des Bishop, he learned Chinese. Remember, he went out to China. Was that another programme?
That's right.
And then the other thing about Des Bishop, every television show he's done, it's been in Ireland. I don't mean just straight stand-up, which is brilliant, that. But every television show he's done, be it about living on the minimum wage, be it about learning Irish, be it about learning Chinese or whatever, he's absolutely, they've been hits. So where is Des? Why isn't he on our TV screens? I know he's, I think he didn't get married and he's based in the States, I think. Bring back Des Bishop. and the modern day equivalent of leaving the immersion on. You know when you're walking along and you have your torch on your phone?
Oh, the worst.
Big deal. People stop you as if you're losing thousands of quick, turn off the lights on. People lower the window. Quick, the light, the torch is on in your phone, Joe. Okay, I'm going to meet him. I'll get back after this break in.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We had a caller there during the break. She just dropped out. She wanted to hear Joanne McNally. What was her name? Vogue. Joanne, where's Joanne?
When I go drinking with my female friends, there is no information not exchanged. Every single sentence starts with, oh, we gotta go. You can't tell anyone what I'm about to tell you. Joanne, I mean it. Joanne, look at me, because I'm fizzing with the excitement. Because it's good, it's Carol. She's like, Joanne, you betrayed me 15 times. Look at me, calm down. I'm fizzing. I'm like, come on, Carol. I've changed. You can trust me now, Carol. I'm a new woman. I'll take it to the grave. But the grave is actually the name of a WhatsApp group I've set up. All the shit about Carol goes into that WhatsApp group. That's me, I've been Joanne.
And as you know, Joanne fills out Vicar Street for something like 30 nights on the trot. Incredible, self-involved, brilliant. Brilliant double act. Colm McDonagh and Mark Robinson. Colm, who do you want, so to speak?
I have memories of the great Neil Tobin.
Ah.
He has some great stories. And I remember as a teenager getting an old VHS video of Neil Tobin on stage, and I must have played it.
Ah.
Couldn't play anymore, you know. It was very funny, and he told a great story in great accents, and he'd have Hibernian scope to you go from Donegal to Cork in seconds, like, and incredible, you know. And he was a great storyteller, raconteur.
And Mark Robinson contacted us from the United States of America, and you won Neil Tobin as well, Mark.
I think he's spectacular, not just as a comedian, but as an actor, but certainly, yeah, a joke teller, fabulous.
Yeah, a great actor. Brilliant actor. Okay, here is the wonderful Neil Tobin.
This recession has hit everywhere, and it hits the Dublin Corporation. At the end of the fiscal year, they found that they had really no money at all left to carry out any kind of a building programme, you see. But they felt that they should perhaps, you know, just to save face, advertise for something. They managed to scrape up £3,000. And they advertised for the smallest possible public building they could think of, which was, needless to say, a public convenience. And they only got three replies. They got one from a Dublin builder. He was the first man in, and they said, what's your bid? And he said, well, I tell you the truth, I wasn't going to bother. I wasn't going to bother me arse, no, tell you that. I know that's a crude expression, but in view of the nature of the building, he's having a mind, I think. But I tell you what I'll do. I know from the grapevine you have only £3,000, and I'll do it for the £3,000. And they said, well, what is the breakdown and the figures? Well, he said, it'd be £1,000 for labour, it'd be £1,000 materials, and it'd be £1,000 profit. I think that's a fair offer. You know, you wouldn't get much better. They said, all right, we'll let you know. So the second man was a cavern builder, and they said, and what's your bid? He said, oh, £6,000. And they said, and what's the breakdown in that? Well, he said, there'd be £2,000 profit for a start, and I think it's 2,000, is it label or material, something like that. Anyway, it's £6,000 round figure, and if I wish you would grab it, you know, like, because it's a very good offer. That'll be gone up tomorrow, too. Everything's going up, but if I wish you would grab it, just, all right, we'll let you know. So the third man in was a builder from here, McCollum. And they said, and what's your bid? Whoa, £9,000. They said, and what's the breakdown in that? £3,000 for you.
As a 3,000 for you, that gag isn't finished. 3,000 for you, 3,000 for me, and with the other 3,000, we get the Dublin fella to do it. Marion Lee, Marion, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe, how are you?
Good, what part of the country?
I'm from Dublin originally, but living now in Leixlip, County Kildare.
And are you doing anything special for, they have a big parade in Leixlip for Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Day, don't they?
Yeah, they do. If I can get my head out of the washing machine, I was just taking in the washing here because, you know what, Joe? The sun is shining.
Quick.
The sun is shining in Leixlip. Quick, get me. Yeah, and you're ringing me, holy God.
Ah, oh, ringing you, and the washing is ringing you as well. And you're running out with the washing, the grand line before the rain comes from Dublin, which is the reason why you left Dublin in the first place. Who do you want? You want Billy Connolly.
Well, I had a great love, yeah. Of Neil Turbine, that's who I rang in about, and Maureen Potter. But Billy Connolly, I think he just made everybody laugh. I mean, he's just an amazing, amazing man. He still is an amazing man. But his jokes, I remember just seeing him on The Late Show, and I saw him with Parkinson. And he just, that joke of the gathering, because I think everybody of my vintage went to the parties where they all sat around drinking, and then someone started the song. And I have to tell you, no one knew the words, but everybody joined in. Do you remember them?
And do you do an impersonation of Billy Connolly?
I don't.
Or do you need a few drinks?
I think I had a few drinks when your researcher spoke to me. No, it was just so simple, because all they'd ever do was, so everybody'd start, they'd be going, oh, so let me, oh, so let me, oh, yeah. And it would go on, and eventually, and all together now, and we all love you.
Are you sure you're at the washing machine, Marion?
I didn't tell you what was in it, though.
I didn't. I think the washing machine is the name of a pub up there, is it? I'm at the washing machine. Okay, here's the wonderful Billy Connolly. And by the way, didn't they unearth a lost video, lost programme made by Billy Connolly when he was in Ireland with Pat Egan years ago, and it's being redigitised and reinvented, and apparently it's brilliant. Here's Billy Connolly.
It was a thing about wildebeests. Wildebeest. In the Serengeti Plain in Africa, David Attenborough, one of those guys, you know, and all the wildebeest, a particularly stupid animal, I think, and it was eating grass there, thousands of the buggers, you know, and there's lionesses creeping up on them, you know, and the leader wildebeest. Do you hear a lion? I thought I heard a lion there. I just could feel a liony kind of feel about the place, you know. And there was a particularly stupid wildebeest about four back, and he goes, did you see a lion? I've never seen a lion. What are they like? I heard they were beige. Is that right? Are they beige? This is what camel hair kind of colours. Hey, you, eat the grass and shut up and do your talk. Excuse me for being born, by the way. Asking a question about a lion, you get a mouthful of abuse.
That's the wonderful Billy Connolly. Where's Billy? Another Billy. Billy Mackin. Billy. Thanks, Marion Lee. Billy Mackin.
Hello, Joe. How's it going?
Good. How's it going with you? Billy, what part of the world are you in?
I'm down in South Tipperary here, a place called Ballyporeen.
Ronald Reagan. Is it still the Ronald Reagan pub there, or did they get sense and rename it?
The premises is there, like, yeah, but the pub is gone. The bar, they moved it up to America. Yeah, it's in a museum over there. Yeah.
And what did Ronald Reagan drink when he was in the Ronald Reagan Inn in Ballyporeen in 1984? Was it
84? Before 40 years this year, Joe.
Yeah. What did he drink when he was in?
Drank a pint of Schmidix.
Good man. Good man, Billy.
He took a sip of it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Schmidix, a gorgeous drink. Okay. Yeah. So you're in Ballyporeen. What does Ballyporeen have a parade now on St. Patrick's Day?
We usually did. We always have a big parade here, Joe. Yeah, but over COVID, then it kind of stopped, and we're trying to get things up and going again, you know.
Okay.
So it's always a big day in Ballyporeen, yeah.
Okay. And by the way, is there a house in Ballyporeen where Ronald Reagan's great, 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 great ancestors lived in? Is there an actual building? There
isn't really, no. There's just a grave above in Temple Tinney. It's a graveyard about two or a half miles outside the village.
I know that. That's a beautiful graveyard, Temple Tinney.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, very,
unique,
very,
yeah.
Very popular. People are dying to get into it, apparently. Okay, Billy, you're a painter and a decorator.
I am, for my sins.
And
yeah,
remember the sign. Remember the sign outside Temple Tinney graveyard is we're very reliable, and we are the last people to let you down. Anyway, boom, boom. Where's the sound effects gone? Boom, boom. Should have got. Okay, you've a painter and a decorator. Have you a gag for me, or you want to call in somebody?
I have, Joe. Yeah, it's just a true story. You know, it's about my mum and dad. Like, they were great people. They looked after us all. They raised 13 of us.
Wow.
And they had a good sense of humour. You know, but there was a true story. I was bringing them home from church one Sunday morning. And my mother was a very proud member of the church choir, you know, mm-hmm. so she wouldn't have anything bad said about it. And my father at this stage was a little hard of hearing. And so my mother was in the passenger seat and dad was in the back. And so I just said to ma'am, I said, the choir was lovely, ma'am, you know, take a box, get on, happy days.
Yes.
So she was looking for another compliment anyway. So she kind of leaned back to dad and she said, did you like the choir? And dad says, no. And I'm there wondering, geez, that's not like dad, you know. He usually agrees with her. And so she goes again anyway, and she says, you didn't like the choir. And dad again says, no. And I said, oh, my God, this is going to be a long day. So she turned around anyway, and she said, why didn't you like the choir? And he said, because the second thing was lighting when I got up. He said,
I get it. Why do you like the choir? And Billy, you said your mother and father had a great sense of humour.
Yeah.
And what was your...
And laugh at him, like, you know.
Yeah, and what was your mother's name?
Bridie Mackin and Paddy Mackin.
Bridie. Well, I'd say when Bridie said to Paddy, on the 13th time I'm pregnant again, he said to her, Jesus, Bridie, you must be joking.
Yeah,
isn't that a fantastic woman.
Yeah.
What a fantastic woman.
Fantastic. She was a great lady.
Well
and
done.
So was
well
Dad,
done.
Yeah.
Well done, well done. Okay, Billy, have you children yourself?
I have three boys, yeah.
Okay.
Three boys.
And 10 on the way.
10 more waiting for you. Well, we got the television in time, Joe.
Well done, Billy Mack and below, and Batty Poreen, Joe at rt.ie, 51551B, the text number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours, in store and online at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie and this Eve at Eve's St. Patrick's Day, we're listening to Irish comic takes. And this is Maria Whelan has been on, and her beck is my call. And this is the Unbelievables in the Sweet Shop.
Hello, Mr. Larkin.
Whelan, what do you want? Come on, Jerry. Come on.
How much are they?
Which are they? These here?
Yeah.
That's three of them for a penny. Will I get you three of them?
No. How much are they?
Which are they now? These here?
Yeah.
They're a penny each.
And how much are they?
Which are they now? The pops?
No.
Or these here?
Yeah.
They're a penny each as well.
And how much are they?
The teeth?
Yeah.
You can get two teeth for a penny.
How much are two of them and two of them?
Two of these, is it?
No, two of them.
Two of them?
Yeah.
Two of them. That's 10 pence for two of them, right?
Yeah.
And you can get two of them for a penny. So that's 11 pence for two of them and for two of them. How much you got, Jenny? How much have you got? You have 20 and you have 2. And that's a penny, right? That's a penny. So that's 22 and 1 is 23. You have 23 pence there.
And how much are there?
There's 3 of them for a penny. You can get 3 of them for a penny.
What Jesus will you make your mind up? How much are there?
There what? What are you paying to this?
Them ones there.
Them there?
Yeah.
Is that what you... Them there?
Yeah.
There's two. You get 2 of them for a penny.
How much have I?
For sake, Johnny, come on, what do you want?
Give me two of them.
Come on, here.
I want one of them.
Come on, now, look, there you go. Now, there, show me the money. Come on, out.
Can I change one of them?
Get out.
That's Pat Jor, the wonderful Pat Jor. By the way, Pat's doing loads on TikTok at the minute. Hilarious. Michael the Builder and the wonderful John Kenny. And I know during COVID, which seems like a generation, two pieces of comedy I kept going back to. One was Paths to Freedom, which is on YouTube. It's an RTE production. Absolutely hilarious. Paths to Freedom. And Deirdre O'Kane is in that as well, by the way. And the other one is Just Go On to the Unbelievables. Just go on. Be it doing the school teacher, be it the school hall, the JA. It will put you in good form. Margaret, good afternoon. Hello, Margaret.
Hello, Joe.
How are you keeping, Margaret?
I want to talk about Brendan O'Carroll.
Oh, well done.
I think he's fantastic.
So do I.
And if I don't know, well, I would probably be being a bit morbid, but I find that anybody's in pain or has those restless days, you put on Brendan O'Carroll.
That's a good point.
It's all forgotten. It all goes.
Now, Margaret, and have you put on the radio there in the background?
I lower it, will I?
Yeah, I throw a shoe at it or something.
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Yeah.
And you love Brendan. Did you ever see him live in the flesh?
I did, yeah. He was on the Olympic one time.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
And I seen him there.
Now, Margaret, do you think, speak freely, Margaret, do you think he can be a bit rude?
Oh, well, you may expect that.
Yes,
you know.
Exactly.
You know, if anybody's going to the show,
they
know they're already told about that, you know.
Yeah, my mother,
some of his jokes, if he hasn't got that word in it, it's not the same, you
know. What's the word, Margaret?
Oh, no, I couldn't say it.
Ah, you see, now, I nearly caught you.
What?
I nearly got you to say a bad word on the radio.
Oh. No.
You're in Dublin?
I am in Santry.
Santry, okay,
yeah.
And on the north side. Now, Santry's quite posh now, isn't it, Margaret?
Oh, is it?
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I'm from the south side.
Oh, where are you? Where were you living in the south side?
Well, I lived in Merrion Square in the lodge.
In Merrion Square, opposite.
Yes, I lived in there.
You actually lived in Merrion Square.
My father was head gardener.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, remember, for a long time, Margaret, wasn't Merrion Square kind of a private park?
Oh, my God, yes. It was only all the professors and the doctors that all lived around.
They had a key.
And they bought a key.
Yeah.
And they sent their nannies in to mind their children in there.
Incredible.
Or they played tennis. And my father used to have to go around the whole of the square at night.
Yeah.
To make sure all the gates were closed, you know.
And you lived in the lodge. Is the lodge still there in Merrion Square?
Yes. I was over there a few years ago. I went in and I was talking to one of the workers. And I was telling him, we lived there. And he said, oh, my God. He said, you have to go up to the foreman.
Yeah.
And when I went up to the foreman, he said, oh, my God, have you any photographs or anything?
Yeah.
I said, yes. He said, could you bring them in to me? But now, at the time, I was waiting the family, and I hadn't time to be going over there.
Yeah.
But he said, if you had to come over before the house was knocked down, I would have let you into it, you know.
It's gone.
Into the house.
House is gone. Your house is gone.
Oh, the house, house was knocked down.
And was it a nice house in Merrion Square, Margaret?
Oh, it was lovely.
Well, you know how much the houses in Merrion Square, around the fork, well, apart from the gallery, opposite one side.
Well, he had the house because he was the head gardener, you know.
Well done.
And he was the first Catholic.
Very good.
That worked there, you know.
And Margaret, when your dad retired from the job, did he lose the house in Merrion Square?
No, it's my story is a bit morbid. It's not for this programme that's supposed to be a bit cheerful. But I'll ring you sometime and tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that Brendan O'Carroll gets people through tough times.
Oh, Brendan O'Carroll, you know, if you're in pain or anything, or you're depressed.
Yeah.
If you put him on, oh, he's fantastic.
He's great.
But as I said, his jokes are not the same without that word in it, you know.
What word is that, Margaret?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't. God, on air, you couldn't say it on air. But one of his episodes was where he was getting interviewed by the professor.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember the professor,
doing a book.
Yeah, it was going there with Cathy,
Now, very funny.
And you know, you'll get Brendan O'Carroll episodes again. They're repeated on RTE and they're repeated
on... Oh, I have them on all the time.
I see, well done. Well
every
done.
Night I put them on, even though I've seen them.
I was going to say
times,
that.
You know.
Okay.
But Joe, ask him where does he get his cardigans.
You know, I can tell you where he gets his cardigans, Margaret, because I've asked him. He used to get his cardigans in Boyers of North Earl Street.
sure, that's gone, isn't
it? I know it's gone. Well, it's not too long. It's now Sports Direct. And the man who used to sell him the cardigans in Byers of North Earle Street was Marty Whelan's father, who worked in Byers. You see what I mean? It's a small world, Margaret. But the cardigans are, I love those cards with the pockets. With the pockets.
Oh, well, you know, it's extra with the pockets.
I presume. You go on to Brendan's website, and I'm sure there's, he's selling the cardigans. I'm sure he's knitting the cardigans at this stage. Okay, now this is only a short clip, Margaret, to keep you satisfied, because we had to take out the what's that word we had to take out, Margaret?
Oh, no, you could not, eh, Joe? You couldn't.
Here it
that.
Is, here it is.
I'm going to go home, ring Jacko at the hospital, and have phone sex.
He'll be asleep, for God's sake.
Well, I'll leave a message then.
Eilish O'Carroll, Winnie and Brendan O'Carroll. Now, Margaret, will you watch Brendan O'Carroll today?
Oh, I'll watch him tonight about 10 o'clock.
You have something to look forward to?
Yeah. Between 10 and 12, I do put him on because it's nice and quiet at that time. And any pain you have, he takes it away.
Yeah, and remember, now the late tonight is going to be very good with Paddy Keaty. Oh. It's going to be a Patrick's Day special. And remember,
Friday. I forgot it was Friday.
Yeah, and remember, Patrick Keaty is the Grand Marshal in our parade the Dublin parade, Dublin City parade on Monday. Though I did notice last night? I was walking through town and... you know, you can't watch the parade anymore from O'Connor Bridge. They have it completely barriered off with a big canopy up. You can't see the parade on O'Connor Bridge, Margaret.
Oh, my God.
I don't know whether the bridge is afraid it might collapse or something. Anyway, Margaret, you mind yourself.
Yeah.
You mind yourself. Okay.
Thank you.
You're a star, Margaret. Margaret, hang on. Paddy.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
You're telling me you know Margaret.
I think so. Would her father be Joe Carton, Mr. Carton?
No. No.
No.
I must be. You were. I'm going back to the 1960s. The head gardener there was a Joe Carton in Merrion Square.
Well, he probably was there after my father.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Joe Carton had a son Francis, and then there was a Martin Carton, and that, I thought there was a Margaret Carton.
No. He was probably there after my father, but as I told Joe. You know, the story is a bit sad.
Sad, okay.
And it's not for this program, you know.
Okay.
But I just Margaret, I remember the house there. It's behind the Duke of Rutland fountain. It was behind where that fountain, the fountain's still there. The house is behind that.
Okay.
And then you have the sheds with all the thing for cutting the grass. I remember we used to lie in the grass. You cut the long grass and the side ears. There were great days in Merrion Square.
Paddy, you'll have me in tears here with the nostalgia.
I'd have you in tears, Joe, if I told you the story.
You keep teasing me about that, Margaret. Are you around? Will you talk to me on Tuesday? Will you talk to me on Tuesday about that other story? Okay. We'll go back to you. Have a good weekend, Margaret.
Okie-doke.
Back after this break with Paddy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
He announced his retirement a couple of weeks ago, the wonderful Kevin McAleer, Elizabeth Smith. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You love Kevin, why?
Well, he is just so droll. He can feel him boring himself and boring everybody all around. But he carries on regardless.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. He really is.
And he was in Derry Girls.
Yes, he was.
Whatever he was called, he was brilliant.
Yeah. They brought him. I think they were trying to get rid of somebody, or maybe they felt. I think it was after a wedding, and people had been there long enough.
And they said,
"How are we going to get rid of all these people?" So they brought in the uncle.
And here is the great Kevin McAleer.
I rang the bank the other day. I said, could you just tell me what I've got in my current account? She says, what's your mother's maiden name? I said, will you tell me what I've got in my account? I'll tell you my mother's maiden name. You know, I asked you first. Anyway, I said, I don't see what business of yours it is. what my mother's maiden name was. Oh, she said, sir, it's for your own security. I said, listen, my mother died 27 years ago. If anybody was going to steal money out of my account, I think it fair to say she would be well down the list of suspects. I said, even when she was alive, she only did it once. And she used her married name. And we dealt with that internally.
Brilliant. Brilliant, Elizabeth. Thanks very much for reintroducing us to Kevin McAleer. He'll never be gone. He'll never be retired. Enid Richardson. Enid, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. And how are you today?
Good, good. And what's the connection with Hal Roach?
Well, my dad was in the Bohemian Musical Society in the 60s and 70s and possibly even the 80s.
Okay.
And Hal Roach was there as well. So he got him to give him my autograph or his autograph to me.
Okay.
And I still have it in my autograph book from the 60s. And I'll tell you a little joke from Hal Roach,
okay,
actually.
Okay, please do, yeah.
Casey went to the doctor.
Casey, yeah.
And, yeah, and he said to him, doctor, will you give me something for my wind? And the GP gave him a kite.
Ah, those were the days when the jokes...
Absolutely.
When you could tell, you see, Margaret could tell that joke. Margaret and Finglas there could tell, well, she lived in Central. Margaret could tell that joke because they're all very, very clear and clean. Okay, let's listen, yeah. Enid. Let's listen to Hal Roach.
Did you ever stop your car in the country in Ireland and ask directions to some place? Did you ever do that? It's a study in itself. Now, let me explain. We Irish are very warm, friendly people, and if somebody stops the car to ask us directions to some village, it makes us feel important. But if we don't know the directions to the place you're looking for, we haven't the heart to tell you. Then if you keep talking to us, we panic and we tell you anything to get rid of you. It happened myself down in County Cork. I was looking for a place called Clonakilty. I said to the farmer, I said, am I on the right road for Clonakilty? He said, you are, but you're going the wrong way. So I said, well, what will I do? Well, he said, if I were you, I wouldn't start from here at all.
That's the great Hal Roach, Enid.
It is. Shall I tell you just a little quick story?
Please,
my dad,
yeah,
parked his car in College Green one evening.
In Dublin, yeah.
And in Dublin, yes.
Yeah.
And I think he went off to a meeting or something. Anyway, uh-huh. I can't remember whether it was my sister or my mother passed there. And they had a duplicate set of keys to his car.
Okay.
So they turned the car around the other way and parked it the other way. And my dad came out and he was scratching his head and he couldn't understand because my dad was so methodical. He would know everything, you know, what way he did things. And it was ages afterwards that they told him that they had taken the car and put it the wrong way round from my dad parking it.
And it was a prank.
And another little thing,
yes,
yeah, a
yes.
bit of crack.
Great.
And another little thing, I love a joke. You see, the Irish have a unique sense of humour because we can laugh at ourselves. And actually, laughter is good medicine for the soul.
Here
and
is.
Once I was in church and the preacher, my best friend's father was the preacher, and I went to the butcher's and I got a sheep's eye and I put it in a matchbox and I put a little note on the pulpit, I've got me eye on you.
Got it. Oh, she, oh, very well done. She got the poor padre must have got a terrible fright, Enid. Terrible fright.
No, he laughed.
Straight to Darren. Okay, Enid Richardson, straight to Darren. Darren, good afternoon.
Joe, how you doing?
Have you got a joke?
I have. Look, I'll just let you know as well, my wife turned 40 yesterday, so I just wanted to say happy birthday to her as well. And I was actually 40 myself last week. But she said to me the other day that, you know, she prefers quilts over duvets.
Oh, yeah.
And I told her that she shouldn't be making blanket statements.
Okay, very good. And remember, the best advice you get when you get married is remember one good turn gets all the blankets.
That's
Darren,
exactly
Darren, you're going to Tullfarrah's house in Blessington. Is that okay? For your 40th birthday.
Really appreciate it.
Okay. We want to hear a bit of the great Dermot Morgan. His anniversary just passed there 2 weeks ago. The great Dermot Morgan.
Life's not all comedy. We should be a little less Markham and a little more wise. We should have a little less Brendan and a little more Grace. We should not sit on our laurel, but be more hardy in our religion. In short, what we need is less Bob and more hope.
Brilliant. Hilary Jones produced, series producer Annette Egan, Cara here, and Shane Galvin. We are back on Tuesday. Have a good weekend. Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours, in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.